Now we are instead going to have a conversation with the Chief Commercial Officer for Postbank. Of course, this as the South Africa, or as Postbank rather, has assured grant beneficiaries that they will continue with the card migration beyond the 20th of March deadline, of course. And Tami Tele joins us on the line. Good morning.
Good morning to the listeners as well. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
It's an absolute pleasure to speak to us then about the progress that has been made thus far, particularly with the deadline having passed on the 20th of March. And from a numbers perspective, what things are looking like?
Again, thank you for this opportunity. I think just in terms of, before we start with the numbers, we just want to appreciate and pass our thank you notes to the beneficiaries that have actually already changed their card to the Postbank Black Card. We are currently sitting at more than 1.3 million beneficiaries that are already now being paid using the Postbank Black Card. We certainly still have a way to go to get more of the beneficiaries, and that's why I think we want to call upon them, those who have not changed their card, that the opportunity still is there. We are still available. All the sites that we had, we continue to have. We continue to increase the number of sites. And so we are asking beneficiaries to make their way to these particular sites at the selected retailer, to actually switch their cards. We encourage beneficiaries not to utilize the gold card, the yellow card, and that when it comes to their grant payment, those cards will no longer be working, and it is important that they get themselves the Postbank Black Card.
I'm wondering then what you make of, what we had seen particularly since the start of the year with the migration, of course, with the initial deadline being the end of February. We had obviously seen, unfortunately, long queues in which in many of the sites in which the migrations took place was essentially poorly staffed, etc., etc. And this created a huge sense of frustration. I'm wondering then, from your perspective at Postbank, how you reflect on this period, since the start of the year of the migration, and where it is that you feel like you could have done better, because obviously there's quite a bit of frustration still around the challenges that people experience as having to travel for far distances at a huge expense to themselves, only to be turned away because the sites weren't sufficiently staffed.
Look, I would like to start with two things. I think the first one is that a project of this nature, large and complex, will always come with some level of challenges, and we certainly recognize that. I think what's key is how we respond to that. So the first thing I think I'd like to highlight is yes, we did see large numbers of beneficiaries who were traveling from far distances, because they felt that they did not have a site, near them. When we discovered this, we realized that maybe it was important that our USSD, which we actually use to publish the sites that are live, that we must include in there sites that are not yet live, but we are guaranteed to be coming to open up. And this way, it was helping, beneficiaries to know that a site near them will be open. We have seen that there has been that reduction in that long-distance travel as a result of that. The second piece is that we increased capacity within the site that we were operating in. Initially, there would have been at least two people, tellers that would be converting to the Postbank Black Card. But we started to increase the capacity within these stores, where you now would have at least three people, four people, and some instances, depending on the nature of the site, we could have five people. And then the second thing that we did, or the third thing that we did, is also continue to invest in what we call the roving teams. These are mobile teams that are not fixed on a specific site, but they move around in relieving pressure points in some of the sites that may be sitting with high volume of people. The second piece that they do, which is the primary piece, is that they will go into the area that may still not be fully covered, and they'll create what they call the outreach, you know, where they'll do the mobilization and book a hall, a community hall, as one of the larger venues, and then start issuing cards. And these things usually go in a group of five people, at least five people, so that they are able to go through the city. We have seen, also, as a result of these investments and also interventions, that we have started to consume or to go through all of the people that are coming through the queues, in most instances, you know. So we think that the intervention, you know, based on the feedback, I think we've done those interventions. Some of them were pre-planned, but we need to just execute on those. If you do allow me, the second piece that I think is important is to mention is that if you think about the fact that we started in September, and then for the first 3 months, we were creating a sense of a party agency for people to come and swap their cards. But we were also creating a sense of comfort by telling them that their yellow card will continue to operate even after December. And what we believe that might have inadvertently created is an expectation of reduced urgency by the beneficiaries. Mm. But as soon as we started announcing the deadline, you saw that the volume started to increase.
Yeah.